I'm going to talk about paid advertising tips for financial advisors. Cha-ching, cha-ching! Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the show. I am Sarah Grillo, and I am a CFA charter holder and a former financial advisor. On this podcast, I talk about financial advisor lead generation tips and financial advisor marketing. Please subscribe because you get the real story, the real deal. You get it here, advisors. Don't change the dial, advisors. Subscribe and let's ride. So I wanted to make this show because I've seen a lot of y'all lose a ton of yen on social media advertising. Social media advertising oftentimes benefits the platform more than the advertiser. And so I want to right some wrongs here with this podcast. Don't miss it. I hope that you stay until the end. But before I get into it, I wanted to answer the question of the day. Hey. And the question of the day is, Sarah, how do I convey the value of paying fees for a future event? In other words, being there for clients when a pandemic hits, for example. So my answer is that, well, actually the question I would ask back to you is this. Do you go to the doctor because you're worried that one day you may get diabetes and you want to have somebody good that can help you if and when that happens? Or do you go because on an ongoing basis, you're going to need somebody to talk to as things come up, right? It's clearly the latter case. And so what I would just say back to anybody who's grappling with this question of how do I sell my services? The answer is that if you're just selling it, that you're going to be there for that one event, then you're kind of depriving yourself of the true value of all that you can offer. And if that's how, the question is, how do you see yourself really? Do you see yourself as the financial advisor who perhaps is maybe a little bit more market oriented and is just going to be there when there's a recession? I've heard a lot of financial advisors say this actually, that, you know, a good recession is too good to miss, or never let a good recession go to waste. Nothing wrong with any of those phrases. But it does kind of convey the sense of when the market crashes, the value of a financial advisor is higher than in a healthy market. So I don't know if it's a question of marketing, but rather practice management. I mean, what do you see as the value of your services? Because you've really got to convince yourself first of how you can be helpful on an ongoing basis. And if you don't have ideas or you're not doing it, then it's going to take some soul searching for, okay, with my best client relationships, the ones that are the most loyal, what have I done along the way to make them feel that I'm a high value partner? How have I helped them out along the way? And a lot of financial advisors that I talk to will say things like, I drove 6 hours to be at a funeral, or there was a widow that just didn't know where to turn. And we were so lucky that 2 years prior to this unexpected event coming up, we had reviewed her husband's insurance and found that he was deficient and all of those things. So I want you to sit there and make a list of 20 ways that you've helped your most loyal clients, and then figure out how you can expand that across your client base. And if you do that, I think the lens through which you look at your own practice is really going to change. And then that'll help you convey the value to other people. So what is this thing? Now we're getting into the theme of the show, which is social media advertising for financial advisors. What is it to advertise on social media? So if you look, for example, I want you to go to LinkedIn and I want you to look at your news feed. And what you're going to see is the first posting there is going to be a posting from somebody in your network. It's going to be a, you know, native non-sponsored posting. It's going to be like somebody posting about that they passed the CFA exam or something like that, or the CFP exam or whatever, right? It's going to be a true post. And then though the second posting is always a sponsored advertisement. And so in that, you can see that some company, you should see the word promoted right underneath the information in the top of the advertisement. So what's happened is that some advertiser has paid LinkedIn to serve up this ad to you based on your demographic information and your browsing history and your activity history on LinkedIn. So what LinkedIn is essentially doing is they're roping you in by showing you a posting from somebody that you already know. And then once they've got you, they're going to serve up an advertisement so that hopefully you'll click, and then LinkedIn can say to the person who's advertising, hey, you owe me $15. And that's how LinkedIn makes a lot of its money. Remember, LinkedIn is still a free platform. There is still a free option on LinkedIn. There are other options that you pay for, such as the premium membership or Sales Navigator, but there is still a basic option that a lot of people are using on LinkedIn. So advertising is a huge moneymaker for LinkedIn, but the issue is that a lot of you are just throwing dollars away or maybe not doing it at all. And both of these have the same issue, which is that the opportunity is being lost to reach people that might need to hear from you. Now, advertising is really useful if you don't have a large network. If you've got like 100 people following you on LinkedIn, what are the chances that there's a client in there, a prospect in there? Probably likely, but it might not be someone that you can nurture and develop in the time span that is suitable, right? That you're looking for. So if you want to get results and you want to get them soon, you've got to expand your visibility and you've got to do it by paying in most cases. Now, I've done other episodes, for example, with Ben Brandt about how to optimize your content, and also Josh Scanlon. These are people that I don't believe have done a heck of a lot of paid advertising, if any. And you can see that they're very successful with tens of thousands of people tuning in to their content. So if you're able to use SEO and Google, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit more on my show, if you're able to leverage the power of the social, as search engine optimization algorithms, then that would certainly, mean you wouldn't have to pay for advertising. But if you're not interested in that, you don't have the time to sit there and write a 2,000 word blog, then advertising may be for you. So a lot of times the first question people have is, how much of a budget do I need to advertise? So first of all, you're going to have somebody like a marketing consultant, or maybe just somebody that knows what in heaven's name they are doing, to target the ad, to test the ad, to create the ad. So there's going to be a base level fee. And a lot of marketing consultants will do this for maybe, I don't know, I would say like between $300 to $400 to $750 a month, more, maybe a little more than that, depending on their experience and tenure, et cetera. A lot of agencies will do this for you. There's no set pricing on it, but I'm just giving you a ballpark. The point I'm making here is, don't think that you're going to, if you're looking to hire a professional to do this, their services aren't cheap to hire a professional to do this. So you're going to have to have somebody to actually manage the process. So secondly, you're going to actually need an advertising budget. Now, the fees that LinkedIn charges you, the advertising, like click rates, are different depending on the type of ad that you make. So messaging ads, like I saw, and again, this is not a typical case for anybody. Everyone should evaluate this. Here's my disclaimer. Everybody should advertise, should go by this on a case-by-case basis, but I have seen clients of mine do well and send LinkedIn instant messaging ads for like 70 cents an ad, 70 cents an impression, where there was an impression, somebody read the thing, 77 cents, okay, every time someone reads it. This is obviously a lower cost than what it would be in the newsfeed, which is in the newsfeed, like I mentioned, I've seen click rates go for like $10 to $15 per click. And by the way, you just really like never know who is clicking when it's like that. If it just gets served up into a newsfeed, sometimes people, I mean, this is just a problem endemic to advertising in general, is that LinkedIn is just going based upon what the person's title is. Same with Facebook. If you advertise on Facebook, you're going by what Facebook believes their spending patterns to be. I mean, they could be on the, if you're trying to sell something to people with college age children, and you you know, target, make an ad and you target it on Facebook and you say, I'd like to retarget everybody that went to the New York State 529 plan website. Well, the issue with that is that some of those may be vendors to the New York State 529 plan. Some of these people may be employees of the New York State 529 plan. You see what I'm saying? So targeting has its challenges and drawbacks. And that's why I would say, going back to my original point about SEO, I think SEO is a better option if you have the patience and if you have the bandwidth to actually create content. I really do. Because if I'm out there searching for like, how do I send my 18-year-old to college? If I'm searching in that in Google, I mean, it's probably likely more legit than if I just maybe liked somebody's, if I liked the New York State 529 plan page on Facebook, right? Like there's a variety of reasons somebody may have done that. So now what I'm saying is that the cost per ad does vary and it's based on what type of ad there is, but this is also not going to be cheap. If you want to really get significant traction with newsfeed ads, I'm sorry to say, but I think you'd probably have to start with a budget per month of like at least, I've heard like $500 to $700. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere significant with an advertising budget of like $150. So I would be looking to spend more like in the 700s or even more than that. Now, I'll get into how you actually spend the money because there's a whole strategy that you would use. But those are just the numbers for like the question of what is an ideal budget and would the different ad types carry a different price. Now, how do you actually get to the people you want to get to? There's a few different ways you can do this. You can actually, when you create your ad, specify what's called the audience attributes. And this is within LinkedIn targeting. So you could try to, and this is really popular, you could try to target employees of a specific company. So the audience attribute would be company name. You could try to target the audience by job title and also geography. Okay, you really want to make sure that you get the targeting right. And I'm going to talk about the process for doing that. The other thing you could do is you could actually create an audience. You could upload a list of email addresses or names, and you could try to get, or like a company name list. And you could try to have LinkedIn do the work of replicating that audience. So let's say that you target college professors. You could upload a list of college professors and have LinkedIn say, oh, this person's looking to meet college professors in this or that certain area. And then LinkedIn would create a target list based on all the records that it has, and it would serve your ads up to those people. Targeting is really important. So in the blog attached to this podcast, I'm actually going to include a screenshot of what a target audience would look like. Now, what you'd want to do is before you go throwing tons of dough into this is you'd want to look at A-B testing, okay? You'd want to think about doing what's called A-B testing. And so what this simply is a test that specifies, that has a specific variable changed between the control group and the variable group. So if you are targeting, like, let's say again, college professors in Wisconsin, okay? And let's say that you are using one job title of lecturer. You would want to run that with, let's say that's control group A. You would want to create control group B with a job title of, let's say, for example, professor. Okay. So you see the variable I'm changing is the job title. So what you're basically going to do is you're going to be creating two different campaigns. And they're exactly the same, except for there's something different. There's a variable that's changed in the target audience. It's the same ad. I want to be very clear. This is the same ad, but there is a control group that is one target audience, control group A, and then there's a control group that is another control group audience, control group B. Now, you run the ad and you're doing some A-B testing. How do you know if it was successful or not? In the blog attached to this podcast, I'm also going to include a sample performance report and a demographic report. So what LinkedIn will do is LinkedIn will actually show you what the results were. And you can look at what the amount of sends were by like the specific industry that the person worked in, or the, let's say, job function, right? So let's say that you have the demographic chart I'll show you is, you know, broken out by job function of project management, marketing, business development, and sales. And you can see how many ads were sent to these various titles. You can see the open rate, the number of opens, like the absolute number, and then you can see the percentage open rate. So that's on the demographic chart. Now the performance graph is just going to show you like the sheer number of hits. And this is really useful because over time, if you're running these ads and testing, you'll see that there are different nuances, that the ads will have more hits at certain times, maybe more clicks. It depends. You can also filter on this. So you should definitely be understanding the patterns of the consumers that you're advertising to. So those are some advertising basics. I'm now going to just run through some more sophisticated aspects of advertising. But before I do that, I just want to ask, have you subscribed to my podcast yet? Because if you're enjoying this, it will really help me if you could subscribe, because then I'll see my subscriber count come up and I'll see my downloads rise, and then I'll know that the content is useful. If I don't have people subscribing in, but just listening, then it's harder for me to know what it is that I need to do for you to make you more successful. So thank you so much. If you've already subscribed, love you. And if you would like to subscribe, I really would appreciate it personally. So now let me just give you some more advanced tips. I want to just emphasize that you build up a history as an advertising, almost like you're building a credit history. So that's why it's important to always be looking at your performance, because you want to generally be improving your performance, because just like a borrower with a good credit history gets lower rates, you also are charged lower rates as an advertiser because the platforms want you to advertise more. They want to make things easier for you when you are a successful advertiser, because remember, if you're a good advertiser and you create good ads that people like and they're clicking, then LinkedIn gets to charge you money, right? So again, like with your messages, if you're doing messaging ads, you want to remember, just keep that message brief. A lot of people like to go on and it's just barfing. It really doesn't get read. And the call to action really shouldn't be meet with me, let's have a meeting. It should be something like, hey, let's have you download this lead magnet, this, you know, hey, are you interested in my, what I think, you know, my analysis of what I think 2021 Social Security is going to be. Are you interested in joining this webinar we're having in 2 weeks? Okay. These are rich events that will nurture and build trust rather than just asking for the meeting right away. The other thing is, I believe, according to what I've read, you have to spend at least $10 a day in advertising. Now, there's different ways you can target the budget. You can control the budget. It can be very regimented. But you want to make sure that you're, you know, just spending enough. Because if you're spending less than $10, it can be hard to get traction. Anyways, the other thing is you want to think about using exclusions. So these social media platforms are never 100% precise. And I do notice, unfortunately, that a lot of times after I run an ad, I do see people clicking on it that just really like weren't exactly in my target group. And I don't know why they saw the advertisement. So for example, all of you should be excluding people in finance in your advertisements, because you don't want this somehow getting served up to like somebody who maybe used to work at like Credit Suisse and, you know, as a private banker, or is currently in that role. You know, somehow there are these little things that tend to like kind of squeak in. So I would just really make sure that you use exclusions to make sure that people aren't clicking on your ad. Like for example, vendors, right? Like you don't want a bunch of vendors like me. Like I'm a marketing consultant to you financial advisors. You wouldn't want somebody like me clicking on this advertisement. So you may want to, you know, exclude like technology vendor firms to your industry, or you know, you may want to exclude your competition, right? You may want to exclude vendors like me. Important. So those are basically the main things that I would want you to keep in mind if you're doing any paid social media advertising. Like I said, if you can do this with SEO, if you can get visibility with SEO, I really would rather see you do that. It won't be as immediate, but you are making a little bit more of an investment in marketing assets rather than just pushing money into ads that will get you quicker results. But after the ad is over, you may get some of those people into the funnel, but you're going to spend a lot of money to get people's attention that aren't going to join your funnel. And then that's just kind of a waste. Whereas at least if you produce content, I mean, yes, not everybody's going to join your funnel there either. But if I write a blog and I put it out there, I mean, I have blogs where people are visiting me that I wrote these blogs in 2017. That's an asset. They're visiting my blogs, downloading my lead magnets. And I wrote the blog when I was pregnant with my third child. Right. So, I have four now, by the way. So I just want to say that, you know, don't get kind of smoked by the razzle dazzle. I know a lot of people are really hyped about paid advertising. I would say do it carefully. Make sure that you test, make sure you start with a small budget and then work into it. And I also would like you to be very careful about how you're targeting the ad and use exclusions. All the things that I've mentioned here are really important to think about. So as always, please, I would love to hear your questions. Send me a direct message on LinkedIn or an email, and let's stay in touch, and I'll see you next week for my next podcast.